First, let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onetta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onetta Forbes. OnettaForbes.com is her website. I was checking on your website, OnettaForbes.com, and you have a lot of interesting pieces on there, but one that we're going to talk about, luxury travel upgrades. You do have some ones listed on there. Ones that you should use and ones that you can skip. So I like that idea. But before we get to the ones you can use and skip, just give me some general thoughts about it.
Right. So, you know, it's just like going to McDonald's. Like, they always upgrade you. You want fries. So it's in every part of our life. And luxury travel is actually one of the most growing components in the travel industry. And people want that personalization. They want to know that, you know, that they can get perks when they travel, because travel's not always easy. So if you can make it simple, and if you can get some say some time and you know, basically enjoy your journey, I think that's important. And the world is full of tempting upgrades, but they're not all worth it. And so the best ones improve your comfort, save time, and protect your investment. So some of the ones I think that you should consider if you have the resources is, you know, when you're going on a long haul flight, perhaps don't go in economy, maybe premium economy or even business class. So more space, better sleep, a quieter cabin, and it's well worth it on flights over 7 to 8 hours. And so you could do that in different ways. Like one of the ways I do it is I bid on it. I bid on my upgrades. And when you do that, you kind of have to, it's a guessing game because you don't know what other people are bidding, but you also don't want to overbid what the selling price is, right? Because if that was the case, you would have just bought it. So I would consider that, but for definitely for long flight, arriving in better shape really is something that you will achieve when you're in a pod and you're laying flat and you can get some shut eye, and the meals are a little bit well prepared and served as well. So that's idea.
Very true. And, you know, when you consider, and again, if you have the resources to do that, like you mentioned, but I'd be interested to know that how you do the bidding. And there's websites you can do this with, or if I call my friendly neighborhood travel agent, can they do that for you?
Well, I've been learning in my quest of different things is that it's actually a third party that the airlines engage, that they do it. So it's, you're not actually, you can't just phone up the airline and say, I want to bid on this. It's actually, you have to do it online, and then it's assessed by a third party. As a travel agent, we really shouldn't be doing it for you, because it's, you know, your money is your money. So you don't want to go wild and just bid arbitrarily. And the reality is, there's a lot of components that you may want to consider. Some people, too, may have with their airline of choice e-upgrades or e-certificates that they can apply to get that upgrade as well. So it's not just always putting up more money. And then once it's submitted, and if you continue with it, you don't cancel it. If it's accepted, it's accepted. You can't back out of it, and it's non-refundable.
Oh, okay. So there's some caveats to know, but good to know. And I do agree with you. The short haul, when you say skip short haul business class, like if it's an hour flight or 2 hour flight, like don't be wasting your money on a business class ticket, right?
No, unless it's a cheapo, like unbelievably low price. Because I have to say, even though I say skip short haul business class, I have done it. And the reason I've done it is because I am over my baggage allowance, and I need, and then I compare what it costs for extra baggage or overweight baggage compared to the upgrade for business class. So I have done that. So just so fair, just so you know, I break my own rules.
That's what rules are for, to be broken. Okay, what else can we, what else is worth it, and what can we skip?
So airport lounge access during delays. So when travel goes wrong, lounges offer some, some calm, some comfort, some Wi-Fi, and some food, making delays far more manageable. And again, through your credit card or perhaps that you already get that included, like in some of the lounges, like premium lounges with American Express, that's part of your membership fee. So I would take advantage of it. I do have to say lounges are becoming mass market. So
I was going to say
sometimes
that too.
it's not a perk to go into a lounge that is crammed to the rafters. The food is not attractive to partake in. So I would consider the lounge. Air Canada's Maple Leaf lounges are nice, but then you also have to consider some cities, they don't have a full Air Canada Maple Leaf lounge. They have cafes that you are considered lounges. So yeah, you really do have to look at it and see if it's worth it. But during a delay, it's good. But also consider if you're in a lounge, some lounges limit the amount of time you spend in it. So 3 hours might be the max. So keep that in mind.
Good time.
The other thing I would definitely consider, and we talk about it with all travel, but for high value trips, like for expensive or complex itineraries, insurance protects you from losing thousands of dollars in non-refundable bookings, missed connections, trip interruption. So always consider it a worthy. It's not even an upgrade. I would just say it would be part of your travel purchase. So consider those as well. For cruise cabin location, midship is a very attractive location. It reduces motion, higher decks improve access, and smart placement means better sleep and convenience. So the cruise lines are definitely involved in bidding on upgrades. I just had guests that are going on an Oceania Med cruise. They were leaving today, and they said that they bid $10 over the base lead-in, and they got it.
Really?
Yes. So again, you never know with bidding because you don't know what other people are bidding. You don't know how many people are bidding, right? So, and I said, and I share with them, I go, it doesn't hurt to ask because, if it's no, it's no. There's no expectation, right?
Yeah. And if it's yes, wow, for $10 more?
Yeah, they were so excited. So excited. Yeah. So, yeah, take advantage of those. Early check-in, late check-out. So extra hours in your hotel means real rest and more usable travel time, especially on long short stays. And I know, again, if you are a partner of a resort or a hotel chain, sometimes that's included in your membership, and I think it's worthy. Really good. And then seat selection. Maybe not an upgrade, but something a small fee is worthy of avoiding a middle seat or securing space that can dramatically improve the flight experience. So I would consider that something of an upgrade to consider. Some things that you may want to skip, like priority boarding, and that's all you get is priority boarding. So
Yeah, I've
boarding
seen
or,
that where it's like, oh, you get priority boarding. That's not really priority boarding.
No, and boarding early often just means sitting longer. So unless
True.
it includes real perks, think about, well, what does it give you at the end of the day? And then hotel breakfast packages, they're usually overpriced. So local cafes, making sure you're in an environment that's safe, that you probably can get a better price, and they're probably more, what's the word?
Food options
Yes,
is what I
that
was
is
going to
the
say, because sometimes it's a limited menu too.
absolutely, yes. So, when we were in Paris, we actually I would just I we were near the Eiffel Tower. I would just pop down, go to a cafe, pick up a couple of hot chocolates and coffee and croissants, and that's perfect for a start of a day, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with all of those actually. And I was going to sort of mention the, like when you are booking, you mentioned like the seat selection and things like that. It's good to be aware of what you're getting with your status as far as like, and I'm going to refer to basic economy now. Like basic economy, you're paying for your seat, you're paying for your luggage, and you're not allowed to bring on a carry-on. So you got to be aware of all those things. Mm-hmm. And so you probably do want to upgrade if you want to, you know, actually have a carry-on for one, and you want to have seat selection included, because sometimes the price difference, like sometimes you're looking at, depending on the seat, $100 per seat.
Yes. Yeah, it can, it adds up, like, especially when you may be involved in two different airlines, mm-hmm. and you have to pay, like, it's not all the way through and so on. So yeah, it does add up.
When does luxury travel become luxury travel, though? Like, if you're starting at basic economy and you're, and I just warned of the caveats of basic economy, what you're not getting, and if you're aware of it, fine, that's good. Mm-hmm. But when does it start to become luxury travel? Because it seems to me a lot of stuff, it's like they're nice perks, but mm-hmm. is it really luxury? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I guess I'm looking for just for a definition.
Right. So for me, luxury travel is, you know, it's seamless. It's like I create or curate something that fits what the traveler is looking for. It's you know, giving them that opportunity not to be part of the masses, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, at the end of the day, it's more personalized. You can it's more about your experience versus being herded along.
I would add one more to your list here, and that's private transfers, because I do that from now on the destination that I'm arriving at,
mm-hmm.
because the last thing you want, especially if you've been on a long flight, like you've been flying all day, sometimes you're doing a connection, and airports are busy, they're chaotic, and so you want someone who's there to look after all the things that you may not be aware of, like traffic, for example, and all, and even just even finding anything like an Uber or a taxi or
yes.
something. They're there, they pick you up, they have preferred parking spots, and they're doing all the navigating, and you just relax, and you're not like in a luxury vehicle, and the cost really isn't that much.
No, and what I like about that is I experienced it in my recent trips. They are actually contacting you to say who they are, where mm-hmm. to meet. They're mm-hmm. giving you pictures of, you know, to look and opportunities to be in contact with you in case there is a situation where your plane's delayed, or maybe you go to the wrong terminal, or
yeah.
whatever the case may be.
It just
maybe.
Takes like peace of mind. And what do you call it? A seamless travel. It just,
yeah.
And that's to me, that's the best way to start.
Oh, absolutely. And at the end of the day, too, it's high touch. So, like, you don't have to touch it. People know what you are asking for, or what you have booked, and mm-hmm. they're taking it. Mm-hmm. They're taking it for you. And it's the opportunity. And at the end of the day, it's basically, I know luxury travel is. It's a word that could be used in so many different destinations,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I think it's a more emotional reward to what you're doing, because then you're not doing anything. You're just like, this is what I want to do, and it's done. It's
yeah.
like design. The services are designed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good stuff. People can read about luxury travel upgrades on your website, onettaforbes.com, along with all kinds of other posts and blogs and good information. And they can follow you on Instagram, Facebook, and X as well, at Onanta Forbes. Good chatting with you, Onanta. Good tips. Thank you.
Happy Easter, everybody.